Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Bless these words proclaimed and the meditations of our heart. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So Rob asked me to, that we're having Rogation Sunday, preach about Rogation, and I said, oh yeah, what's that? In the midst of our 50 days of celebrating Easter, our text today point to the seeds of God's hope and promise of the now and the eschatological not yet. God's kingdom of heaven here in glimpses and in seeds, and also in a new Jerusalem, a kingdom, a new kingdom, a harvest yet to come. So today is also Rogation Sunday, and to be honest, I've never heard of it. It's never been part of any worshiping tradition that I've ever been a part of. And so, unlike my friends who are serving in prairie parishes, who do this every year, one of them kind of challenged me and said, don't you serve in a rural parish? And I said, yeah, I guess I do. So I took up the challenge. Thanks, Rob, for doing that, because everyone knows I'm a notorious city slicker. But maybe some of you are familiar with Rogation Sunday? Maybe? No? Then I could tell you anything. Pretty much, I guess. It's a very important time of blessing in the agricultural, rural communities across the church. My friend, Pastor Karen in Ryan, Saskatchewan, she says that in her parish, farmers bring in bags of seeds to be blessed before the crops go into the ground. And it is a tradition that is part of many farming communities across rural Saskatchewan. Rogation is a time of blessing and a time of planting. A time that can very much be characterized by a deep dependency and an interdependency and a hope of things to come. Now, in the Church of England, Rogation Sunday is when the church has traditionally offered prayer for God's blessing and protection over the fruits of the earth and the labors of humankind. The word rogation, as we've heard three times now, is from the Latin rogare, which means good listening. to ask. It means to ask, yeah. So historically, the rogation days were a period of fasting and abstinence and asking God's blessing on the crops for a bountiful harvest. Ancient pagan observances of Robigalia included great processions through the cornfields to pray for the preservation of the crops from, of all things, mildew. Christian honoring of Rogation Days has varied over the centuries, from the observance of the fixed date of April 25th, which is very close to Earth Day, to the great outdoor procession on the Monday or the Tuesday or the Wednesday before Ascension Day, which is next Sunday. Now, Elizabeth I, sovereign of the Church of England, ordered something called the perambulation of the parish. Perambulation of the parish at Rogation Tide. And it's a custom that's still observed in many places of the church. So imagine, if you will, all of us getting up and going outside and processing down Richardson or Richmond Avenue up to Richardson, probably as far as the Craig Derrick Castle, or we'd be infringing on the Lutheran Church boundary, I'm not sure, declaring everything within that geographic boundary of this parish to be specifically set apart and consecrated as holy, pronouncing to every soul, every tree, every plant, every one of those gross caterpillars that we encounter in the neighborhood, the liberation offered through the mediation of Jesus Christ and staking our claim for the working out of God's plan for bringing God's kingdom here on earth through everyone that set foot in that boundary. Of course, in the older days, the clergy had the responsibility of what we used to call the cure of the souls within the parochial boundaries. Wouldn't that look great on a business card? The Reverend Rob Crosby Shear, cure of the soul. Let's get them printed. That is, clergy were responsible for everyone within these lines who was technically a member of the parish. Every institution, Christian or not, was a chaplaincy concern. Not just every Anglican or every Christian in the boundary, but every single living being. And the Rogation Sunday was a time to what was called beat the bounds, to walk around the boundary of a parish, to be certain you knew just where those boundaries were and who was inside of them. Now, that's not something that we would learn in a boundaries workshop today, but the idea was about the kind of care and responsibility that we have to one another and the kind of agape, all-encompassing, outsider-including love that Jesus talks about specifically in John's Gospel. Now, healthy boundaries are a good thing, don't get me wrong. They help us live more fulfilling lives, respecting others, respecting ourselves. They help us overcome depression and codependency and anxiety, and to avoid unnecessary anger and hurt. And yet, as good as healthy boundaries can be, and as useful and as necessary as they are, Jesus appears to be telling us something altogether different about boundaries. Not contrary, I think, just different. Maybe more expansive, definitely more risky. In the gospel, Jesus' message is not about keeping a healthy balance between work and home life. It isn't about maintaining a sanitized distance from others. In the texts that precede this one in the Gospel of John that we hear today, as part of John's big farewell discourse, final farewell. It's kind of interesting that in the midst of these days of Easter, after we've been alleluia'd out and celebrated the resurrection, we're kind of like, well, what did Jesus say again? And so we've gone back to look through the words of John and Jesus' final farewell. His words of comfort and wisdom that he imparts on those of us that he loves so dearly, before he says goodbye. Jesus says, just after this text, a few lines after, that he is the vine and we are the branches. We are part of him and he is part of us, knit together or grafted to one another, not in a codependent kind of way, but in a interdependent kind of freedom. And if by chance we can't manage to fathom what kind of risky boundary crossing into the life of the other could possibly mean to us, do not let your hearts be troubled, as Jesus promises that the Spirit will come and teach us everything we need to know. The one who healed the sick will cure us of our ills as well, and we'll have all the help that we need. For Jesus, and especially in the Gospel of John, it's all about incarnation. It's all about inclusion. It's all about being in a relationship, connected, a part of the larger body, walking together in the way and the truth and the life, an expansive way that leaves little room for violence or the disrespect of others. After all, any harm that comes to one would be felt by the whole within the boundary of community, whatever that would be, from the family or the church or the neighborhood or the world. The image Jesus offers of living a separate, autonomous life is death. Those who do not abide in him, who are not grafted to the whole, interconnected human life, with all things living and breathing, including the very earth that we call home, will be on its own, by itself, apart from life, thrown away like a branch to wither, to be thrown into a fire and burned. The implication of living outside of the community to the Yohani meant that you lived outside of the care that comes from deeply belonging. But belonging is risky business. We all know that. How, I don't know what that nice way of saying dysfunctional is, but, complicated. We all know how complicated our families or social groups of belonging can be. We all know how vulnerable it can be. Now, I and others belong to a group called 12 Together. It's a group of educated activist citizens from across the community that meet once a month to support one another in life and to lift up areas of need in our community and beyond, and to take some collective action. It was formed as an idea by Siobhan, who wanted to gather a group and community, who sought a loving response to the disconnect and discord that is prevalent in the world today. So basically, after 45 got elected, she felt the need to do something to combat fear and despair in her personal world. So she gathered some like-minded people. So we meet and we share ideas and we collect an offering and we educate and we act. It's a great idea that should go viral, much like the gospel. Now, if any of you ask to join Siobhan's group, she'll probably tell you the same thing. Start your own chapter, because it does need to go viral. But this past week, we discussed the social responsibility of homelessness. Homelessness. The very thing that Jesus is speaking the opposite of when he uses the word abide. To not have a home, a place of belonging, a place to feel safety, ease, and rest. One of the group members reflected on how easy it is not to notice people who are sitting on the sidewalk or sleeping at a storefront. How much easier it is to give someone a $5 bill than it is to sit down on the sidewalk and find out a person's name or to find out how they're really doing. So much easier than inviting a person to a meal at our table. How would our communities be transformed if we took very seriously the care for all life within the boundaries of the perambulation of the parish at Rogation Tide? If we took seriously the responsibility and care of others as we come to them and make our home with them, would that be considered a healthy boundary? We are all part of one vine, all connected, all interrelated. When we realize this, we can't help but cease to work for our own selfish gain at the expense of others, because we can't unsee the truth that harm done to anyone is ultimately harm done to ourselves. When we admit that we are part of the vine, we begin to draw nourishment from each other, instead of considering each other so outside of the boundary. Who are the people that we consider outside of the boundary? In Jesus's boundary workshop, Jesus tells us that he is the true vine, and his Father is the vine grower. We are part of him, and he is part of us, and we are, all of us, rooted in the dirt, in the same earth that connects us to every living thing, every plant, every person, every molecule, every rock. And in case we're a little fuzzy on what he means exactly, in case we can't muster up the care or the understanding or the expansive notion of agape love that John's gospel proclaims to the Yohani and to us, Jesus sends the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, to walk alongside us. And thanks be to God for that. Just as Jesus walked alongside his disciples, his entire ministry. It is extraordinary to know that everything we think or do as we walk along our journey affects this world, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in very big ones. Every time we cry, others cry with us. Every time we laugh, there are those that see us completely and laugh along. And every time we sin, there is a ripple of life damaged by our actions. And every time we realize the abiding love that God so lovingly and eternally calls us into the forgiveness, to rest and to thrive, we become whole and reconciled. When we know that we are together, know that we are responsible in the boundary of Christ's abiding love, then we do not only by chance catch glimpses, but expect to catch glimpses of the divine in others, in all life. As we seek to follow God in the ways of the vine, it thrives. More shoots are sent out, leaves appear, and in God's good time, the rich harvest of fruit comes. Grapes for eating, for drying into raisins, for fermenting into wine, seeds to be planted, for harvests yet to come. Can you imagine the harvest yet to come? This is the good news of the Rogation. This is the message of love that Jesus has for us as we gather as his disciples. In words of farewell, blessings of small beginnings, of hope for a future yet to come, never left alone, but in partnership with the Spirit of God. This is the message of the angels, as brought to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human, earthy, sweaty, nourishing, interconnected life. This is the hope for our salvation, the fruit of our inheritance, and the future of our children. This is part of what the Holy Spirit has come to teach us today. And accepting it is part of our collective healing. May we all come to rejoice in that revelation. Amen.